Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. The boys will talk about Hills West Sports Whip Around, MLB playoffs, football, and a lot more. Welcome back to another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Latuca, alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Michael Garafa. A huge week in sports, especially professional. But first, we're going to talk Hills West Sports. Ben, what do you got?
Football. Big win last week, 21-0. At East Islip to improve to 5-0. And we'll give you some stats from that game. Sadiq Khan, 6 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown. Davon Wright had a 40-yard touchdown run. And Gerald was 4-for-8 for 84 yards and a 55-yard touchdown pass to Justin Brown. And it'll be a battle of heavyweights this weekend. 1 o'clock game here at the turf. We'll be broadcasting it. They'll be playing West Hampton, who's also 5-0. And, yeah, 2 undefeated teams. Doesn't really get much better than that.
Yeah, so you can go if you want, but if you don't really want to get out of the house and go, you can definitely just tune in to the live stream. It's going to be great on the YouTube live channel. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, just look up West TV on YouTube. It should pop up. And next weekend, the 20th, is our homecoming. We'll also be doing a live broadcast there. That should be a great game as well. So tune in for more Hills West football, especially on the live broadcast side. Brian, let's talk a little bit of soccer. What do you got?
Yeah, boys soccer. So they had a huge game this week, senior day, against Hophog. Hophog was undefeated going into this matchup, and the boys put on a shellacking. 2-0, a great victory, and goals were scored by Issa Kanat, Anthony Pipitone, assist from Will Goldbaum, Benny Knockdad at 5 saves, great defensive battle, great defense from the Colts. Mm-hmm. And both those goals were scored in the first half, so this game was never really in question. Just a great performance.
So the boys playing much better after a shaky start.
Right, they improved to 9-4-2 on the season now.
Very impressive. So they're on a roll, as we would say, and the magic is starting with the Hills West boys soccer team. With the girls, they clinched playoffs. So good for them. This Friday, I believe, is their senior day as well. So go out, support the girls and the senior players as well. All Hills West teams doing fairly well so far. And they'll look to continue their success. We'll move to the professional level. Talk a little bit about the MLB playoffs.
Exciting.
Ben and
I disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug, you were at game 3. I was at game 4. And obviously, you saw the worst game out of the two. I don't think that's really a question. But, yeah, 2 heartbreakers. I mean, the first one, obviously,
just an absolute pounding.
Very frustrating time. As a Yankees fan, the Red Sox, I really thought we'd beat them in 4 or 5. I didn't think they'd have the pitching or the bullpen. But, Doug, I know you're about to go off, and I'm just going to give like a little sneak peek of what you're going to say. Aaron Boone definitely outmanaged the series. Alex Cora did have a pretty good series. Seems like everything he did was right. Brock Holt came in, hit for the cycle.
Stud.
played Ian Kinsler. He had a big RBI double. And, yeah, it's frustrating, but
Doug is rolling up his sleeves right now, so
it's getting ready. Just,
you guys can't see that, but that's what's happening right
Preparing
now.
Preparing for liftoff.
So let's get right into it. The main reason, there's 2 main reasons why the New York Yankees lost this series. 1, they didn't get the big hit.
No clutch hits.
2, Aaron Boone's incompetence. Let's explain why. Okay. Clearly outcoached by Alex Cora. Both first-year managers, Mike, don't even give me that nonsense with the first-year coach. If we didn't want mistakes, then why would we hire this guy? This guy is a mistake waiting to happen. He's a first-year manager coming from the broadcast booth when you had a veteran coach in Joe Girardi that made correct moves. The guy knows how to coach. Okay, now he's an analyst on MLB, and people are laughing at the Yankees for making that move.
Mike, question. About Aaron Boone. You're going to use the first-year manager thing, like whatever it is you're going to say. But if Aaron Boone doesn't hit that home run against the Red Sox to send the Yankees to the World Series, is he even in this position? Is it even up for debate?
No.
Absolutely not.
He's not a manager, dude. I mean,
The guy's the next player trying to be a manager, and he was god-awful this playoff series. He lost us the series in Game 3. What are you waiting for? When are you going to take Severino out before he gives up another five runs? After the first single, he shouldn't even came out for the top of the fourth. That's ridiculous. And the fact that you don't have anybody warming up in the bullpen is embarrassing. After the first single, the first pitch of the top of the fourth inning, and you keep him in after he gives up a single. Then it's a hit and run base hit to right field. Two men on. Oh, let me just keep him in again for a four pitch walk. You don't even have anybody in the bullpen. Then you decide to bring in big boy Lance Lynn. I don't have anything against this guy. He's pitched well for us, but he's not a reliever. He cannot inherit runners. Why would you bring him in this spot?
Especially
and then you're
going to
wait. Then you're going to go waste Chad Green. It's bizarre. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It doesn't make sense. Let's go to point number two. The fact that we couldn't get the big hit. You have bases loaded and no outs and you get one run. Are you kidding me? That's how you fail in a series. That's how you lose against a better team than you. Boston is a better team than us. But in the playoffs, we should have put up a better fight. That's an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed to be a Yankee fan just for that series and the awful moves that we made to bring in this dummy. Aaron Boone is the head coach. And I'm just baffled by what went on. And that's my rant. And I'm lost for words now.
Well, one thing in particular, I remember last year when this situation was happening, you guys were bashing Joe Girardi, and I love how you're now asking for him
False!
Back.
False! No, do not tell me that I bashed Joe Girardi. Check my Twitter. No way. I'm pulling up the tweet.
Doug and I, we were mad after that challenge, but we were praising the guy after we beat Cleveland.
Thank you.
But still,
listen to me.
You still were mad
you guys
at him.
Were
don't
very
you
mad
dare.
At that
you were mad at him so
that.
Badly.
Obviously,
dummy could have made that move. How do you not challenge that? But look, I'm going to go to my profile.
All right, no,
I'm pulling it up. Go ahead.
You guys were definitely angry at Joe Girardi after the challenge, but nobody wanted him fired. Or not fired, but not retained or whatever it was. Nobody wanted to bring an announcer in from the booth or any of that. That was just the whole Yankee season, honestly. It came down to this series, and it's a disappointment, honestly.
Yeah, well, that ninth inning was pretty much the series in a nutshell. You get the bases loaded. This crowd really bullied Kimbrel into that inning.
Agreed.
You know, couldn't get the big hit. It was just a game of inches, too, all series. There were a lot of foul balls that were by like a foot that did not go the Yankees' way. And there were fair balls by a foot that went the Red Sox way. And it's just a game of inches. And the replays, added first base by what? An inch?
Yep.
Less than that?
Let's also just take a moment here to acknowledge Angel Hernandez is the worst umpire in Major League Baseball history. Okay, Ben, you can continue.
I think there's a lawsuit against the MLB for discrimination.
Well, that's not
the reason why you're not umping games, dude. It's because you're awful. Okay, there's five reviews.
And three of them
five
correct?
Reviews and three of them are overturned. Yeah. That's a joke. And then he goes and umps the game four behind the dish. That's awful. Okay, I'm pulling up my Twitter right now. This is after we beat the Indians last year. Girardi's reaction and expression is priceless. Great to see the team rally around Joe and beat arguably the best team in the league. Huge. That's right after the Indians series when he made the mistake and didn't challenge. Okay? So don't tell me that I was on Girardi. That was me. Obviously, you're going to be mad as a fan. How could you not be mad if you don't challenge a call that's so obvious? You got to know the rules, dude. And Boone doesn't know the game. It's like all season, he doesn't know how to manage the rotation and the bullpen. I've said it all year. Ben, how many times have I texted you that?
I mean, I think me and you have gone back with texts of this guy does not know how to manage the bullpen or the lineup or pretty much
anything.
And let me just say also in that last game against Rick Porcello when he benches Andujar and starts Neil Walker, it may have paid off because I recall Neil Walker getting a hit or two, but it's just I didn't like that move at all. Neil Walker was 1-for-14 in his career against Rick Porcello. It puzzled me.
It's bizarre.
And 0-for his last 27 in the playoffs. One thing that I wanted to point up about that series was just the way the Red Sox were able to sweep right under the Yankees' feet. The Yankees had the momentum going right into the series, and I'm astonished at how well the Red Sox were able to come back from that. And they actually said it in Game 3 when the Yankees got routed that after Game 2 when the Red Sox got completely destroyed, that the moral of the clubhouse, no one was even talking to each other because they were so down. So the ability for them to come back from that and just take the series, it shows the leadership of Cora and the ability of that team to
Right, that's great coaching right there.
Yeah.
honestly. And the other thing is they were down in that series. When it's 1-1 and going back to New York, I don't think there's a single person that even thought the series was going to go into five games. I think everyone thought that the Yankees were going to sweep them at home and the Yankees were going to move on to the ALCS. It really shocked me, honestly, when they came out. I was at a movie for the beginning of the Yankee game where they got absolutely destroyed. And I went to the movie, it was 0-0, and when it came out, it was 10-0. And I was like, wow, how did this just happen? When I heard it was 10-0, I thought the Yankees were winning, and I was pretty sad. But
must have been a good movie.
Venom? Highly recommend.
I heard it's very good.
Highly recommend.
So incompetence and no production from the Yankee offense in big spots is why the Yankees were not able to win and beat Boston. So NLCS and ALCS happening coming up soon.
Tomorrow's NLCS, yeah. And Saturday's the ALCS.
So the NLCS should be a good matchup. It should all be great. The playoffs seem very short in the MLB compared to other sports, but there's a lot of great teams in there, and it makes sense because it dwindles down the top teams left in the MLB. So last week, a huge week in football, a couple big games. A lot of the games that we highlighted were very, very good games. But this week, we've got a couple good matchups. We could start with tonight's game, even though the teams have underperformed, still a division game, and it could be exciting between the Eagles and the Giants.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, bro.
Okay, sure. I'm curious how the weather's going to affect this one, too, because it's going to be pouring. I don't know how long this game is going to end up lasting. I don't know how that's going to wear down both teams. But the Giants' offense looked great in that last game. I'm not going to lie. They put up, I think, 31 points. Yes, 31 points in their loss off of a 63-yard field goal. That was pretty funny as a Jets fan. But
that kick was good from 73 too.
Yeah, it was. That was. Let's just appreciate that kick for a moment right there. But the Eagles struggled in the last game. Honestly, against the Vikings, leaded that win. Seemed like the Eagles do too. And now they're put in a position against the Giants where it's almost a must win game, and it is for the Giants also, which is a rare position with two teams that I thought would be in playoff contention right now. And When I look at both these teams, I think the Giants need to run the ball more. I think the Eagles need to get Carson Wentz more involved in this offense. He had a better game last week, but it's still not where he was last year, and I think they need to get him back to that. Bottom line, I think the Eagles are going to come out with this win because they're playing much better football right now, and I don't think the Giants don't have what it takes, it seems like, to win a lot of games, and that's just proof when they let the Panthers even get a 63-yard field goal off with about a minute left in the game when they're driving down there. And then they get to the midfield with 1 second left on the clock. I just don't think they have what it takes.
Yeah, I was actually looked at the I think NFL. It's an older account, so a throwback. I think it's NFL Throwbacks.
Great account.
Where they showed a video of the top five plays by the Eagles against the Giants. Three of them were punt or kickoff returns. Of course, the DeSean Jackson play is incredible. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty exciting. But you just see the rivalry, the closeness in all these games. And although these teams have struggled, I think the Giants are starting to figure it out a little bit. Still have problems. OBJ is an issue in the locker room. He's a diva. He's a drama queen, and I'm kind of fed up with it. It's a little bit ridiculous, honestly, that you're not. And he also underperformed last week. He got hit on a punt return. He was returning,
was,
and he tried to move out of the way and instead cost his team points.
That was brutal.
So you can't say something and then not back it up with your play. I understand if you make zero mistakes and you make 10 catches for 200 yards and two touchdowns. Great. Say whatever you
I
want.
I have to say, if that play doesn't happen, I don't think I beat Ben in fantasy. So I have to thank Odell for that.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well, about that game, though, like Brian was saying, it is a must-win for both teams. The Eagles, 2-3, you're the defending Super Bowl champions. You got to right the ship. And the Giants, 1-4. If you lose this game, you're 1-5. And I was saying all offseason how the Giants had the number 2 pick, and it was just a fluke year. And they were going to be back to their contending selves next year in the playoffs. But, I mean, they're looking more like the Jets this year than contenders. And, you know, 1-5, that's pretty much rock bottom. And I think, like with what you said about Odell, Doug, the guy's definitely troublemaker. That interview with Lil Wayne on ESPN was just absolutely ridiculous. And Eli, obviously, I mean, his career is coming to an end. He really doesn't have much left. And the Giants did think they can win with Eli, and they obviously can't. They should be the first to admit that they were wrong. They should go out there. They should get their quarterback. They should have done it last year instead of Barkley. But
Well, Saquon's their top offensive player besides OBJ. So it's not
he's the best player in the
team. Yeah, I agree.
He's the best, no, he's the best player.
Not besides OBJ. He's their best player.
Yeah, just a quick shout out. I just wanted to say something about Jimmy Butler quick while we're on like the topic of Diva or whatever we want to talk about. I have a newfound respect for Jimmy Butler with his interview last night with Rachel Nichols on ESPN.
Yeah.
The guy is real. He's not messing around. He's not trying to cause problems. He's just saying what is true. And I believed him. I just, in his voice, I just could see that he was sincere in his answers. He thought, he didn't really need to even think about his answers. He just, it just came right out of his heart, you know, right out of his mouth. Didn't even have any time to think, you know, he just did what he had to say, said it, and took the responsibility of his words. So I respected him there. Not a lot of huge games this week. Not really that impressed with the slew this week. But we can go do Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, another division game. Stay with the division matchup. A big game here: Steelers 2-2-1, Cincinnati 4-1. Cincy's in first in the AFC North, so it's a big game for the Steelers, who are two back from the Bengals. So should be a good one.
Yeah, Pitt's definitely got to gain some ground, and what better time to do it when you're playing the first place team in the division. In the Bengals. And that division, like we talked about on past podcasts, really not that weak this year. Pretty deep with the Steelers. The Browns are decent. The Ravens are pretty good. And, yeah, this is definitely a game the Steelers are going into expecting to win. Again, they got to win. And Cincinnati's probably thinking that too, because if they go up on Pitt by another game, you know, put them in the back of mirror for now.
Yep.
Obviously, still relatively early in the season. But I think both teams are going into this game not treating either team lightly and really treating it as a pretty big game in this regular season.
Yeah, and the odd thing with the Bengals this year is it's kind of surprising that they're really good, but they shouldn't be because they've had the same core of players together for so long. Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, Drake Kirkpatrick, and the potential coach of the year, Marvin Lewis. So I really think that they're going to come out and they're going to win this game. I think they're just a great team, not for that reason, for that reason. They have had the same group together for so long. And they're also running the ball very well with Joe Mixon. Their offense looks great. Their defense looks great with two defensive touchdowns last week. Ben, you almost beat me in fantasy because of that.
Genius
had the Bengals defense last week. Yeah, I think the Steelers are good but not great. And I think that the Bengals are definitely on the come up.
You know what I think is great, though? The fantasy football breakdown.
I was going to say that.
And we were talking about the Bengals D. We would have told you that on the fantasy football breakdown. Maybe we didn't tell you that. But we'll give you guys each week. You should tune in. Every Thursday, noon.
It's electric.
Comes on before this.
It's pretty outstanding.
You know, Ben started the Bengals defense last week.
I did.
You should definitely be listening to it.
Credibility. Credibility on the fantasy football breakdown.
Thanks, brother.
Ben, me, and Garoff talk fantasy football.
So not me.
Definitely tune into that. We have a couple other games that we want to highlight. Just a brief shout out. I don't want to really talk about it, but Baltimore-Tennessee could be a solid game. Tennessee has a good pass defense, and Baltimore has been effective passing the football this year. So that should be an exciting game against two solid teams. And the game of the week, I highlighted it on the fantasy football breakdown. But the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs travel to the 3-2 New England Patriots. The game of the week, could be the game of the year. We don't know. Last week gave us a run for our money. It was pretty good. So let's see what goes on. This should be a good one.
Yeah, let me just say the Chiefs impressed me so much last week with their play against Jacksonville's top-notch defense. Best defense in the league, best offense in the league. Looks like the offense really won this one. And against Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Bouye, Patrick Mahomes was able to put up over 300 yards passing. His team put up 30 points. And I'm just Blake Bortles, I don't know if he's going to be able to get it done for the Jaguars.
Oh, he's awful.
Yes, he passed for 430 yards, but four interceptions and a fumble.
He's awful.
You can't turn the ball over five times. That's how your teams are going to be able to beat that defense. That's the only way. So, I mean, the Chiefs, man. Look at this.
Yeah. So good.
The game last week looked good
on
the schedule.
Too many weapons, honestly.
Yeah, the game last week looked good on the schedule with Jacksonville, but a complete domination by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Great offense.
Jacksonville,
great defense.
Exactly. And it's happened before.
Yep.
They said the fact, I'm pretty sure it's 5-0, something around there, where the team with the best offense has beaten the team with the best defense, I think, every time. I'm pretty sure that's the fact, but it was pretty baffling when I heard that. But another great matchup. New England Patriots looking much better. Brady seems to be getting his weapons back. Josh Gordon implementing himself in the offense. Julian Edelman back after the four-game suspension. And Gronk trying to get healthy. He's still battling injuries. But Their offense looks much better. James White, Sony Michel, nice combination in the backfield. But I think Kansas City is just too good. I can't see Kansas City going undefeated because I don't think it's almost not possible to do in the NFL just because there's too many letdown weeks. It's too difficult to get yourself going for 16 games in a season. But I have to go with Kansas City here just because their offense is so electric. But you never know. It's Tom Brady. So I've said it before. I don't like to go against Brady.
Yeah, we said that last year for our Super Bowl picks. But, yeah, I'm not picking against the Chiefs until they lose. Mahomes is just too good. That offense is just too good. And until I see it lose, I'm not believing it. So,
right, and there will not be two undefeated teams this year. I can guarantee that because the Chiefs and the Rams play each other on Monday night, November 19th, I think. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be undefeated. That's not going to be the reason why, but just putting that out there. And the Chiefs, too many weapons, I think, for the Patriots. I think we could all agree that the Patriots are back, and all thoughts of them not being good this year were dismissed when they beat the Dolphins, honestly. But we could definitely agree that they're back now. And too many weapons for the Chiefs, though.
Agreed.
Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Sammy Watkins playing this week. I don't think you could take them. I didn't mention Travis Kelce.
Yeah, so now we're going to move into our most electric segment of the podcast, the Electric Player of the Week. Who wants to lead off? Because I'm a little fired up. But
how about you,
you guys go.
Go ahead. Dog.
All right, my Player of the Week, my Electric Player of the Week, Antonio Brown finally shows up. He's got some lawsuits against him, but that did not hinder his production. He finally got his connection right with Big Ben Roethlisberger, 6 receptions, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns for arguably the best wide receiver in the league. It's good to see the Wi-Fi connection back and better than ever in Pittsburgh. So AB, my Electric Player of the Week.
Yes, Doug, my Electric Player of the Week is the player who rushed for the most yards in a game in Jets history. Isaiah Crowell rushed for 219 yards on 15 carries, added a touchdown. That's 33.1 fantasy points for you right there, because he also tacked on a catch for 12 yards. Isaiah Crowell, man, he's running through defenses. He's pounding through defenses. Isaiah Crowell, Player of the Week.
Yeah, he's beasting. He really is.
He's
also beasting too, Mike, but we're not going to pull off the slogan from last year. We got to give it some time. My electric player, we're going to go with the number one ranked fantasy wide receiver right now. You know I love Stephon Diggs, but I got to go with my boy Adam Thielen. Wide receiver, Minnesota Vikings, 24.6 last week, and he's breaking records all over the place. He is the first player in NFL history to surpass 100 receiving yards in 5 straight games to start a season. The first player ever to do that. Think about the great receivers in NFL history. He's the first player to ever do that. He is remarkable. What a talent. His story's great. Thielen, what a beast.
It's just remarkable to think that I picked him up on free agency last year at the beginning of the year. And now he's the top-rated wide receiver in the league fantasy-wise.
Undrafted, now he's one of the best receivers in the league.
Outstanding, Mike. Give me your Player of the Week.
My Player of the Week. Sorry to turn the knife here on you boys. But Chris Sale, got to be the Player of the Week for me. Him coming into that game in Game 4 against the Yankees, that had to be a turning point. He was able to keep the Yankees' offense down a little bit and managed to keep the Red Sox in the game enough so that they ended up.
Yeah, why don't we talk about Craig Kimbrell almost blowing it for the Sox?
That was
Let's bring in that
almost
dummy.
Only counts in horseshoes and hand
well,
grenades.
I told you they didn't
the
get
Red
the
Sox
big hit.
Won that series.
I told
baby.
You they didn't get the big
they
hit.
Got swamped.
Gary Sanchez was 2 feet from leaving the yard for a Grand Slam game winner.
But he didn't.
It's fine.
We
didn't.
Lost.
Let's go Rangers it's tonight.
Okay. Horseshoes
looking
and hand grenades.
Looking for 0-4, baby. Rangers looking for 0-4 tonight. At the Garden, I'll be there.
Go Sox.
And the Brewers for the World Series.
Yeah, whatever.
For another time.
Ben, wrap it up. I'm done.
All right. Pretty good podcast. Thank you for listening. As always, we would like to thank the following people. Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ricciuti, Dr. Catapan on the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday, and finally, a thank you to the Class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Brian Flatow, Doug Stuka, Mike Arafa. We will see you next week.